ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ना रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट नंबर 2 द चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड एट्रोसिटीज ऑफ किंग कम्स ते तो तोर्णम उपव्रज्य देवक्या गर्भजन्मतत् आचाक्यो भोजराजाय यद् उद्विग्ना प्रतीक्षते ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस ए सी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन देर आफ्टर ऑल द वॉचमैन very quickly approached King Kamsa, the ruler of the Bhoja dynasty, and submitted the news of the birth of Devaki's child. Kamsa, who had awaited this news very anxiously, immediately took action. Purport. Kamsa was very anxiously waiting because of the prophecy that the eighth child of Devaki would kill him. This time naturally he was awake and waiting. And when the watchman approached him, he immediately took action to kill the child. Hare Krishna. I sincerely seek the blessings of Chintamani Prabhu. Also all my worshipable God brothers and God sisters. So we are on this 10th canto, 4th chapter. The chapter is entitled Atrocities of King Kamsa. And we have come to this state where now the Lord has appeared and Kamsa was eagerly waiting for that particular moment because he had heard that the eighth child of Devaki is going to be the cause of his death. And because of which he performed so many atrocious activities. Finally, the moment of hour has come when he was eagerly waiting for to just kill that eighth child who is going to be the cause of his death here. So this particular purport Srila Prabhupada mentions that Kamsa was anxiously waiting and this time he was naturally awake and waiting, and when the watchman approached him, he immediately took action to kill the child. So you can imagine, after the seventh child was born, disappeared, Kamsa never slept for a long time. He was all the time waiting when the child is going to come out of the womb of Devaki so that he can go and kill the child. Srila Prabhupada, in many of his purports and his conversations and his lectures, he mentions that how the nature of this people of this material world is. Shreyas and prayas. You know, the nature of the conditioned soul is that doesn't realize or doesn't think about what actions he performs will have some reaction in the future. Just wants to do whatever he feels like doing. He's conditioned by the modes of material nature. And he is bewildered also. So Prabhupada mentions that everyone in this world are in illusion. Because they think that they are this body, and then whatever is in connection with this body is mine, and all these things are for my pleasure. And anyone who interferes with that, he is bound to be killed or he is bound to be destroyed. So that was what was Kamsa's nature, or Kamsa wanted to. As you all know, that when Kamsa was carrying Devaki, his sister, on the chariot, everyone thought it's such a nice person he is. He is so lovingly carrying his sister after the marriage. But as soon as that Akashvani, the voice from the sky, announced that the same sister's eighth son, his child, is going to kill you, he just became completely the opposite. The same brother who was lovingly taking his sister now wanted to kill that same sister, Devaki, right at that moment. somehow or other, by Vasudev's wonderful preaching and expertness in convincing Kamsa, could save his wife or sister of Kamsa, Devaki. And that's how one after another the children were born, and now the eighth child is there, here. So Srila Prabhupada here mentions a very important statement about the prophecy. That this was foretold, that the eighth child of Devaki is going to be the cause of his death. So when such a prophecy is being proclaimed, no one can change that. Elsewhere in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Shukdev Goswami is speaking about Ravana, how Ravan, though being very powerful, had to die at the hands of Ram. So Prabhupada mentions over there in that purport, he says that if Krishna wants to kill, nobody can protect. And if Krishna wants to protect, nobody can kill. Just one line sentence, but that has such a profound meaning. Like Hiranyakashipu, he wanted to save himself. He wanted to become immortal. But when Brahma said, I cannot give you that boon, then he had a perfect plan. He had done his homework very well. He went to Brahma. He knew what exactly he wants from Brahma. But when Brahma said that you are immortal, I cannot give you that immortality. So then, okay, at least you give me these things. Should not be killed by man or an animal. I should not be killed outside, inside, day, night, by weapons, astra, shastra. So he had fully insured himself from being killed. But then what happened? Lord came in the form of Lord Narsingdev and killed Hiranyakashipu. Who could imagine that something like this form would appear and then completely destroy Hiranyakashipu? Similarly, when Durvas Muni wanted to kill Amrish Maharaj, he had actually created a fiery demon and that would have destroyed Amrish. But Amrish just folded arms, just prayed to the Lord, and the chakra came there instantly. First, destroyed that fairy demon and ran after chasing Durvas Muni. And ultimately, Durvas Muni had to take shelter of Amrish Maharaj to protect himself. So, if the Lord wants to protect, nobody can destroy. And if the Lord wants to destroy, then nobody can protect him. So, this was a prophecy that the eighth child of Devaki would be killing him. Kamsa thought that he can reverse that. Kamsa thought that he can somehow or the other, contract this. And he was under that delusion that probably he will survive that by doing something atrocious, by killing the children helplessly. So I was just trying to meditate on this particular aspect of the prophecy, and I made an acronym for this, because by which I can meditate on and I can remember the nature of the conditioned soul and the nature of the devotee and how we can connect it to Srila Prabhupada. So it's just a small attempt. By this I can remember about this, maybe meditate on it and understand that how I should not be like what Kamsa is. Prabhupada mentions one place that, how Kamsa represents like a conditioned soul in this material world. So, P stands for power. If you see Kamsa, he was very powerful. In this world, if somebody is, a lord of a particular area, then he thinks himself very proud of his achievements. He completely, acts very arrogantly, becomes proud of his achievements. But here was Kamsa, who was like dominating the resources of this material world on his own. Srila Prabhupada mentions, in many of his lectures that how, the nature of this conditioned soul who has that power is to overlord and dominate the resources of this material world. So Kamsa was like that. Kamsa would dominate all these resources in this material world And he could do that. He had that much of power with him. And that made him proud. And Prabhupada mentions that this proud is born out of illusion. Why? Because Prabhupada mentions that whenever we come into this material world, we come empty-handed. And we just consider everything to be our own. And we fight for it. We just, you know, do so many activities to just claim those things. And then while we leave this world, we just leave everything in this world only and we go empty-handed. So how do you claim proprietorship for this? But we become proud of all these achievements. So these are all born of pride. So Kamsa was like that. Kamsa was a powerful person. And he actually thought that everything, whatever is in this world, is for my pleasure. And that's what made him proud. And because of his pride, he started doing so many sinful activities. R represents the role models which Kamsa had. Kamsa actually, his role models were the ones whom he also, what they would also do what he liked to do also. Like Jarasan, Shishupal, they were his role models basically. In fact, he got married to Jarasan's children, daughters, Asti and Papti. So they were also having the same qualities as what Kamsa had. Kamsa was trying to, you know, dominate the resources. Even Jarasan, Shishupal, they also had the same nature. So usually it is said that, you know, you become what you associate with. So Kamsa would always be with this, and then they were his best of friends. They were his role models, and he would also be doing the same things. So nature of this material world is like this, that if you want to, it's said that, you know, if supposing somebody associates with good people, then he also becomes good natured. If you are associating someone bad, then you become like that. So one is advocate, like Prabhupada mentions that, you know, one always should be in the association of devotees, and then you develop those qualities of the Vaishnavas. The O stands for the ornaments. Like Kamsa's ornaments were his demons, actually. The asuras. Bakasur, Shakatasur, Trinavarta, Putana. All these people were his ornaments. In the sense, if you imagine, each of these asuras were very powerful asuras. Like very, very powerful. Means they were like masters of a particular, you know, universe sort of a thing. Like they were so powerful. And Kamsa, single-handed, had defeated all these asuras. And had brought them under his control. He defeated them, and then when they surrendered, he said, what should we do? He said, just serve me, that's all. That's what was Kamsa's power, you can say. And so, all the demons whom Kamsa had actually employed, you can see in the future verses, whom he is going to use them for killing the children born in this land, also for killing Krishna. So they were all being defeated by Kamsa. So you can imagine these people, what their power may be. You know, I was just trying to remember that when we are talking about, you know, the world champs, actually some few countries come together, play, and then one person wins and you get world champions. That means a particular sport in a particular area, you excel and then you are called as champs. But from that point of view, if you see, they are so insignificant as compared to Kamsa's domain. Kamsa dominated the entire world. He brought all these demons under his subjugation. Actually, he had that, you know, quality to get all these people under him. So these were his ornaments actually. And P stands for propensity. Kamsa's propensity was to enjoy sense gratification. He just wanted to, it's like lust. Prabhupada mentions that propensity for lust, you know, makes a person mad. He just doesn't understand. Bewilders. He's bewildered completely. So Kamsa was bent upon sense gratification. And when you are wanting to enjoy the senses, then duplicity comes into picture. And Kamsa, here we find that he was ready to kill his own sister when he was threatened. When the prophecy that the eighth child of Devaki is going to kill came, he was ready to kill his own sister, whom everyone thought he loved so much. And he actually loved that child, loved the sister. But when the prophecy came that his sister's child is going to kill Kamsa, he became very scared, and then he started doing these activities. So it is said that when you are completely mad for sense gratification, then one becomes bewildered and one doesn't understand what he is doing. So Kamsa was like that. He became perfectly bewildered. And the H stands for hard-heartedness. Kamsa, because of that propensity to enjoy, he became hard-hearted. That means there was no element of compassion in his heart. So much so that he was ready to kill the newborn child. Just meditating on this point, that somebody who is a murderer in this world, even in the age of Kali Yuga, he may have murdered many people. But when it comes to children or maybe helpless child just born, a person would think twice before he would actually do that act. But Kamsa, during that time, when nobody would think of doing this activity also, Kamsa was ready to kill those helpless children. As soon as a child comes out, you find the child is so helpless. Looking at a child only, you will feel that, you know, that compassion in your heart. But then Kamsa was so hard-hearted. He did not waste a single moment waiting for the child to grow also. As soon as a child was born, he was ready there to smash. And kill him is not like this, you know, just take the child and smash it against the wall. Can imagine what sort of a thing. Even to think about it also, sometimes it's painful. So that was the nature of his. E stands for enmity towards the Lord. So when you are powerful, when you are proud of your possessions, when you want to enjoy senses, you become hard-hearted, and then you develop the enmity towards the Lord. You become envious to the Lord and his devotees. Kamsa, if you are surrendered at that particular moment, probably he could have been saved. But then he just somehow or the other thought that no, this person is my enemy. And Prabhupada, in one of his conversations, he mentions that how, because of excessive attachment to things of this material world, one becomes envious, because he thinks that, you know, he is going to lose those things. He becomes very fearful. Because of that, he thinks that, you know, I need to. And anyone who is going to take away that becomes envious of that person. So when Kamsa's life was threatened, he became envious of the Lord himself, Krishna. And also the envious of Lord's devotees. Devaki, Vasudev, he was ready to put them into prison behind bars. And later on we see how he was ready to kill all the children who were born during that particular time in the area of Mathura district. Chastity. Kamsa was chaste to his own mind and senses. He was not ready to listen to anyone. He never had anyone to guide him or to tell him that what he should do. He would only listen to what his mind and senses would say or dictate. His mind and senses decided to do something, he would just do it. As the nature of this material world, prayers. Just do it. Your mind feels like, do it. Your senses, yes, just do it. And what happens, because of this, you are always surrounded by those people who are your yes man people. So Kamsa was always surrounded by those ministers who would always also, you know, agree with whatever he would do. In fact, when the first child came to him, Kamsa said, "Oh, Vasudev, you take this child back. You don't, give me. I am concerned about the eighth child." But later on, by the advice of the ministers, realized that, no, he's making a mistake. Again, after this also, if you see in the further year chapter, the verses also, when The Yogmaya came, just escaped out. He became very apologetic. He released, and then again by the advice of ministers, he just again came back and then imprisoned Vasudeva and Devaki. So usually what happens is that when you are not, you know, taking up an authority, what you are not accepting a genuine authority, then what happens? You are bound to be fooled, or we are bound to be, you know, taken in a different direction by those people who are going to also fan your propensities to enjoy. And wise, he had a deep-rooted yearning to enjoy the fruitive results of his work. That's the nature of the conditioned soul. So you want to perform the activities, not only that, that enjoyment, to enjoy those fruitive results of your work, you have that deep-rooted desire to do that. So this is the nature of a conditioned soul, and we see how Kamsa fits into or Kamsa's nature, you know, all these things fit into Kamsa's nature. Now, when you are talking about devotees, exactly the opposite thing takes place. And I was trying to single point or highlight this quality of King Pratapudra. Srila Prabhupada mentions that King Pratapudra was so powerful that it was compared to the power of King Indra. That was his power. No? So here is King Kamsa, and on other hand is Maharaj Pratapudra. Maharaj Pratapudra's power, he was a king of Orissa. And you can imagine that time what can be his power. It said that the Muslim ruling was all over this country except the state of Orissa because of his power, his domain. The Pathan could not come and enter the state of Orissa because of Maharaj Pratapudra's prowess. So that was his power. He is devotee of the Lord, but at the same time just see his power. That power could not get that Muslim king to invade the state of Orissa. And that's why this particular state remained a state where devotees could very, very nicely perform their devotion service in this particular state of Orissa. So that was his power. And who were his role models? The role models were the devotees like Gopinath Acharya, Sarvam Bhattacharya, Ramanand Rai. Those were his role models. And the devotees of the Lord, of course. But then Maharaj Pratapudra accepted Sarvam Bhattacharya as his spiritual master. And he did everything what was necessary to perform this devotion service under the instruction of his spiritual master, Sarvam Bhattacharya. Also, he had great awe and reverence for Ramanand Rai. That was what Maharaj Pratapudra's role models were. And his ornaments were the devotees and serving the devotees. In fact, when the first time when all the devotees from Bengal came, so many devotees were there. And Maharaj Pratapudra wanted to know who all are they. And Gopinath Acharya took him on the top of a building terrace and showed him and pointed out each and every one of them. He is so and so, Advaita Acharya, so and so, and glorified each one of them. And then when they're doing Sankirtan, he was mentioning that this is nothing but Prem Kirtan. So Maharaj Pratapudra had that deep desire to be associating with those. His life was only to be there with the devotees. And his propensity was to serve all these Vaishnavas. In fact, when 300 devotees came to Jagannath Puri, it's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he was told that he should arrange for their stay. So Maharaj Pratapudra personally took and saw to it that all the devotees are given proper arrangement to stay. And not only that, the prasadam was also taken care of And also he made arrangements for them to have a very smooth darshan of Lord Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. So that was his propensity. Propensity to serve eagerly the devotees of the Lord. So that was the nature of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And H, soft-heartedness. His heart was always soft, full of compassion. In fact, in the last chapters of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antalila, there's a story of Gopinath Pattanaike. Gopinath Pattanaike was the treasurer in the ministry of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. He had actually misappropriated the funds of Maharaj Pratap, because normally when somebody is a treasurer, you deal with the currencies, the money. And then when you have to deal with so many, there is naturally a tendency to misappropriate. Like even in this world also we see, when somebody is given perks like travel expenditures, they may go by an ordinary class but then claim for the second class if they are entitled for a second class ticket or an AC class fare. They will go by ordinary and pocket that. Or probably they may go by bus and say that I have gone by taxi. So whatever it may be, this is in a very, very insignificant way somebody may do it. But imagine that somebody is in a treasury, just he is whole and soul of the whole treasury. Then that person naturally sometimes that element of, you know, stealing or cheating may come. So Gopinath Pattanaike, though being a devotee, but he had that, you know, propensity to just somehow or other misappropriate a fund. He did that. And somehow or other, the matter came to Maharaj Pratap Rudra by his son. Maharaj Pratap Rudra, he just said, you just do the needful. What actually he was mentioning or probably aimed at was that, just see that, you know, you give him a proper punishment probably and leave him, just like that. He was not so much disturbed about it. He just said, just do the needful. But his son, Purushottam Jana, he just, some other, you know, big story. But then he got offended by some behavior of Gopinath Pattanaike and then he put him on the changa. That means he was about to be hanged. The news reached Lord Chaitanya. Ultimately, Lord Chaitanya did not want to get involved into all these things, so he wanted to leave the place and go away. And when the matter reached Maharaj Pratap, he did not know that all these things are going to happen. And then he just came back again. He just ordered that he should be got out of the changa. And then he called him. After he called him, he just honored him with all wonderful, you know, cloth, sickle cloth. And then not only that, he just, you know, some other relieved from all his responsibility or debts. He doubled his salary also. So much he was for him. And he knew that, you know, he's none other than the great devotee and brother of Ramanand Rai and others. And he just did not want to leave the association of Lord Chaitanya. That was the nature of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. One of the qualities of Maharaj Pratap Rudra, element of compassion. And eagerness, is the eagerness to get the audience of the Lord. So much was his eagerness to get the audience of the Lord that he was ready to become or leave the royal robes of a king and take the robe of a mendicant. When Maharaj Pratap wanted an audience of Lord Chaitanya, it is said that Lord refused to give him audience because he said, he's a king and I am a sannyasi. How can I be with him? And doesn't fit for a sannyasi to associate with such a person. So when Maharaj Pratap heard about this, he said, what is the use of this kingdom? Or what is the use of this royal dress or king, being a king? So better I just leave this and become a mendicant if I have to get that audience of the Lord. He was actually about to leave his body for this. And seeing his determination to see the Lord, actually Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and others, they decided that he should somehow or other get to meet the Lord. And that was the nature of Maharaj Pratapada. He was grateful on one hand because his son got the mercy of the Lord. But on the other hand, he was also eager personally to take darshan and serve the Lord. That was his eagerness. Unlike Kamsa, who did not want to associate with the Lord, he just wanted to kill. But here, Maharaj Pratapada wanted to have the audience of the Lord. That was what was his eagerness. And chastity. He was very chaste to following the instructions of his spiritual master, that is Sarvam Bhattacharya and other devotees. When he was told that in order to get the mercy of the Lord, you should act in a very, very humble way, he was ready to, you know, he just swept up the floor of Lord Jagannath's rath in front of the cart before the Rath Yatra. And also at the same time, you know, when he was advised to do a particular activity, he just immediately followed that and he did it. So his only qualification was, or his only nature was, that just some other, the how can I follow the instruction and execute that. That was his nature. So he was very chaste to that particular aspect. And by yearning, he was always eager to see that the devotees enjoy the facilities of the state. As I was mentioning, that sacrifice for the devotees' sake. So he was ready to do anything and everything for the devotees' pleasure. That was the nature of Maharaj Pratapada. He always, you know, was yearning for that particular aspect, that any time he was ready to do that. So though in the kingly dress, he had such a quality of humility that he would always be in that consciousness. We are talking about Srila Prabhupada, that Prabhupada's pride was in the faith, the power of the holy name. So when Prabhupada went to the West, he had only one thing. He had nothing with him in his hand. He had only some $7. He went to the West and then he was sitting under a tree in Tompkins Square Park, just chanting the holy names singly. And then slowly, slowly people were coming, and then slowly they came associating with him, and then that's how the movement started. But in the beginning, if you find, Prabhupada had nothing, but he had that immense faith in the holy name and faith in the power of the holy name. And that was his pride. He was proud about that, that, you know, power of the holy name is the only thing which can change the world and change the people. So that was the nature of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's role models were the acharyas of our sampradaya. He always would quote on and off this spiritual master and the previous acharyas. And whatever we are given in his books, in his teachings, are all but nothing but everything is coming from the disciplic succession, sampradaya. Srila Prabhupada once mentioned that, you know, excuse me, Srila Prabhupada mentions that unless until one approaches the pure devotees of the Lord, one cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, and then he says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipped both Ramanand Rai and Sarvam Bhattacharya. That's what I mentioned in that particular statement, the lecture. And here we see that how Srila Prabhupada, his role models were these acharyas, and his ornaments were his surrendered devotees. When Srila Prabhupada first time he went to the West, he was all alone. But then slowly each and every one came forward, and the devotees surrendered their lives. And that's how we engage all these devotees in various projects. So all the temples that we have all over the world, the wonderful projects that we see happening, the devotees whom we had so carefully nurtured, cultivated, those are his ornaments. And propensity, Srila Prabhupada, propensity of loving Krishna, spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. In the memories, Govinda Prabhu is mentioning that once Prabhupada was in Hawaii, and then when he saw the people here in suffering in this world, he was thinking, oh, what is this? And he instructed that you should all preach this Krishna consciousness to all these people, because people in this world are suffering. So that is his purpose. He wanted to always spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And as far as heart is concerned, soft-hearted compassion. Because of his compassionate nature, you would see Srila Prabhupada wrote so many books, spread this message of Krishna conscious philosophy all over the world. The food for life, the various activities which take place. As Jayapataka Maharaj was mentioning that how when they shifted from the hut to the new lotus building, they had a big festival. And hundreds of devotees were called for that festival. And then Prabhupada just saw this dogs barking. And when he went near the veranda, he saw that so many, you know, young boys were just trying to fight over the leftovers which were thrown. And the dogs were also barking. These boys were just trying to shoo away the dogs. The boys were trying to shoo away the dogs with the help of sticks. So all these things, when Prabhupada saw, you know, he actually cried at that time. And he said that nobody should go hungry within 10 miles of the circumference of the temple. And that's how the food for life, ISKCON food relief, came about. So that was Prabhupada's compassion. Books. Prabhupada spent sleepless nights. He would travel from one place to another place, you know, forgetting about his jet lags. Sometimes we find when devotees have to come from far off distance, they have to at least spend one day just to overcome or just to become normal. In a sense, you know, because of the time gap. But Prabhupada had nothing like that. He just had to move from one place to another place and preach. For him, whenever it's night time, he just has to get up and start translating his books, writing all these books, just 2 hours of sleep and then write. That was his nature because of his compassion. And eagerness, Prabhupada always was very eager to glorify Krishna under our circumstances, and also eager to engage the devotees in Krishna's service. Whatever propensity somebody had, you would always see that person's propensity engage in Krishna's service. He was always eager to do that. Shyam Sundar Prabhu, because a good sculpture made him to carve out Jagannath Baldi Subhadra. Jadurani Mata is a good painter, made her paint. Somebody had a good intellect, made to preach. One person, a good editor, Hayagriva Prabhu, made to edit his books. Engaging the devotees in whatever propensity they have in Krishna's service. That was his eagerness. And he was very chaste, following the instruction of his Gurudev, Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, chaste to his instructions. Spiritual Master told him to preach in the West in the English language. So for 40 years he was meditating on those instructions. He received that instruction when he met for the first time in 1922. But then ultimately he went in the year 1965 to the West. But that thing was there in his mind of going to the West and preaching this message, because he knew that that was the desire of his spiritual master, to preach. And spiritual master also told him that if you at a time get money, print books. That was in Radhakund. That was the final instruction that he received. And Srila Prabhupada did that. He wrote so many books and he helped distribute so many books all over in different languages. The devotees are doing that. And in December, devotees go all out as a marathon to distribute books to as many people as possible. So that was what Srila Prabhupada's chastity. And because of this, as would be always there, you know, like Srila Prabhupada would always have or inspire his devotees also do the same. No? So, as I was talking about, you know, yes man, there is this one story which Badrinarayan Prabhu was mentioning, that once they were walking in Los Angeles, and Srila Prabhupada saw a very big apartment or big building. So Srila Prabhupada said, one day we should have a big building like this. We'll have such a big building like this. So everyone said, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. They're walking, walking, walking. And then they saw one big limousine car passing by. And Srila Prabhupada said, one day we'll have such a big car for ourselves. And everyone said, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. And then after some time when they're walking, they saw a dog, big dog, passing by. And Prabhupada said, one day we'll have a big dog for ourselves. So everyone said, Jai Prabhupada, Jai. Prabhupada was angry. He said, why you want a big dog for Krishna? So basically, Prabhupada wanted devotees not to become yes men, but just to follow the instruction with intelligence and execute those instructions, you know, with full knowledge about what he's supposed to do. So Srila Prabhupada got that instruction from his spiritual master. He found out how to go about it. He just did that, executed it with the knowledge and yearning. Srila Prabhupada always desired, yearned to make everyone qualified to receive the mercy of the Lord. He always wanted to be their well-wisher. That's why every time he would write letters, he would always say, your ever well-wisher, A.C. Bhakti Vedan Swami Prabhupada. So he was actually everyone's well-wisher. Not that it was limited to only few of his disciples or someone who is only serving him nicely. To each and everyone, he was a ever well-wisher or still a ever well-wisher. Whoever takes shelter of this particular movement, whoever takes shelter of the books, whoever takes shelter of the association of Vaishnavas, that person is a recipient of the wishing of Srila Prabhupada, well wishes of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada always would see to it that each and every one of the living entity would get the mercy of the Lord, because this is such a prime age of Kali Yuga that one cannot get any other opportunity other than this. In other words, we are close to receiving and going back to the spiritual world. Because as would mention that this Kali Yuga is the only Kali Yuga, one day of Brahma, which where Chaitanya comes in his original form. Just following the Dwapar Yuga where Krishna comes in that same original form. And is the only time when the Lord gives Krishna Prem freely. You will not get it at any other time. And that's why Srila Prabhupada always mentioned Krishna just appeared 5,000 years back. Chaitanya just was there 500 years back. So for him it is not so far, because compared to eternity, compared to so many millions of lifetimes that are taken, here we are just very close. We are almost just close. We have just made it. It's like a finishing line. Just some few steps and we are there. It's like that. So Prabhupada doesn't want any one of us to miss this opportunity. And anyone who takes to this process, as His Grace Jananas Prabhu once he was mentioning, that anyone who has taken shelter of this moment, they are all going back home, back to Godhead. So that's what he mentioned when he was giving one of the Bhagavatam classes. That means what we need to do is we need to only be here in the association of Vaishnavas, serve, and then go ahead. Yes, and devotees are there to push you. That's what we are supposed to do. Just hang around. Hang around, you know. Even if somebody pushes you around here and there, just hang around and go. Just like in a train, just because somebody pushes you, you don't get out of the train because you don't like them. You know that you have to get on at Borivali, and all the time, every station, somebody is pushing you. It doesn't mean that you just get out of the train because I don't like them. You know that your goal is to get on at Borivali. So you don't mind that somebody pushes here and there because it's so crowded. Still, you want to hang around there. So similarly here, we know that our goal is to go back, and here is a wonderful opportunity. After this lifetime, just get an opportunity to go back to the spiritual world by the mercy of the of our acharyas and especially Srila Prabhupada. We just hang around here, you know, ignoring all the pushes and carry on with ours. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was mentioning that actually the opulence of a devotee is in service, you know. So when you serve Vaishnavas without selfish motives, then that's the greatest opulence. One of his lectures in Pune in 2008, he had given very, very nice class. And in that, he was mentioning about one particular story. I'll just end with this, just 2 minutes. He was mentioning that how when you serve a Vaishnava, what happens? Srinivas Acharya, he was mentioning about a story of Srinivas Acharya. And Srinivas Acharya was instructed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the dream that he should go to Shikanda and then take study under Abhiram Gopal Thakur. Srinivas Acharya was instructed to go to Puri to study from Gadadhar Pandit, but then Gadadhar Pandit could not because the book was completely wet. He had to come back again to write down that book again, come back by the time Gadadhar Pandit had left. And that time he was told that you come to, Shikanda. And Abhiram Gopal Thakur, when he was approached by Srinivas Acharya, Abhiram Gopal Thakur told him, he did not say anything. He just made him to serve. For many days he was serving. And then finally one day he was given some bhoga items. He said, you just take this bhoga items, you go on the bank of the river, cook, offer and eat it yourself. So Srinivas Acharya took that plate. He just went to the banks. He just prepared bhoga. He offered. In the meanwhile, Abhiram Gopal instructed 3 of the devotees to go to him and beg from him the prasad. And he instructed them that you should finish off the prasad. So when he went there, it said that when Srinivas Acharya was just about to honor this devotee, can we have some prasad? Srinivas Acharya just wholeheartedly gave the prasad to them. And they were eating to the heart's content. They were eating. He said, can we have some more? Srinivas says, yes, yes, please have, please have, please have. And he gave everything. And that time his Holiness Radha Maharaj made a comment. He said, it's not that Srinivas Acharya kept something behind his pocket, hiding something and then, you know, freely distributing the rest. He did not keep anything for himself. And he was telling them, no, I have something, you please have. And he was willingly and smilingly, he was giving them entire thing. And seeing this quality, Abhiram Gopal Thakur, he said that now he's a recipient of mercy. And he called him and he whipped him with his Jai Mangal. That was a whip. Abhiram Gopal always had that whip by which he would give love of God. So he whipped Srinivas Acharya, the way he would give mercy to the devotees. And that's the time His Holiness Radhana Swami made one comment, very, very serious statement. He said, when you serve Vaishnavas without any selfish motivations, that time you will receive the blessings of the devotees. If you have any hidden motives behind the service, then you don't receive the blessings. So if you want to receive the heartfelt blessings of a devotee, then you should serve the devotees without any selfish motives. And that is a meditation actually. That when a devotee wants, you know, when he serves without any expectations, without any ulterior motives, then you are bound to receive unlimited blessings of the Lord. And unlimited blessings means unlimited opportunity to serve. Ultimately, that's the only opulence that one can aspire for. And when you have that opulence, then you should know that the Lord's mercy is upon you. So the whole of Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you see, there are unlimited stories about Vaishnavas who are always in that mood of service. So externally somebody may be doing some other activities, various activities, but when you're in that mood of serving without any motives, then you should understand that the devotees' blessings are fully upon you. The Vaishnavas are pouring out their blessings. That's a way one receives that mercy. So just wanted to share with this. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Sorry for going over time. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki chai, Srila Prabhupada ki.